Chapter 11, How to Create Raving Fans. I don't view myself as a queen. I view myself as one of my fans. Lady Gaga. By the beginning of 2016, Taylor Swift had sold more than 40 million albums worldwide. Before her multi-million dollar success in the pop music world, Swift was a country singer on the rise. Rick Barker was Swift's manager in those early days. Remember earlier when I told you that Barker advised Swift to meet and connect with 500,000 people if she wanted to sell 500,000 records? This is where we break that down. Making that personal connection with each individual takes time, but it pays big dividends in the long term. Swift stayed late after every show to shake as many hands and sign as many autographs as she could until it was time to hit the road for the next tour stop. It was tiring work, but I think 40 million records more than compensates Taylor for her time. I have a colleague who says that having raving fans is like turning on a faucet and unleashing a steady stream of clients anytime you choose. Most people sit around with their hands cupped under the spigot, waiting for their ideal clients to start flowing in, but they haven't turned the faucet on. Raving fans are the fast track to more money, influence, and impact. The more raving fans you have, the easier it is to do almost everything, except perhaps answer fan mail. It's also how you create more time freedom as well as financial freedom. Plus, raving fans don't balk at your pricing. They happily pay what you're asking because they know you're worth it, and they tell everyone they know about you. It takes years to build a profitable, sustainable business, especially one customer at a time. When you have raving fans, you get there faster. The good news? You don't need 500,000 raving fans. Just a few will create exponential results in your business. Raving fans spread your message faster and easier than you ever could by yourself. And the best part? They do it because they love you. Loyalty. Raving fans begin with loyalty. There are two faces of loyalty: your loyalty to your fans and your fans' loyalty to you. BJ Bueno, founder of the Cult Branding Company, puts it this way, quote, "All major brands try to get their customers to be loyal to their brands. This should be called brand loyalty. Cult brands focus on being loyal to their customers. This should be distinguished as customer loyalty." Raving fans, then, are those people who are loyal to your brand and to whom you are loyal. It's that deeper sense of your commitment to them that encourages fans to rave. They feel like you're looking out for them, like you know them personally, whether you actually do or not. That means it's not just about how your fans can't get enough of you, but how you build a stronger relationship with your fans. It's what you do or don't do on a consistent basis that sets the expectations of your fans. Those expectations establish trust and deepen not only the loyalty of your fans, but your loyalty to them. It's not uncommon to find that some of your biggest fans have also become your friends. But you can't just slap together a rewards program or revamp a stale customer service program and expect that to do the trick. Raving fans transcend customer service to the total customer experience. To that end, I've identified four components that create raving fans: brand identity, brand loyalty, brand experience, customer loyalty. The word brand can feel nebulous and hard to define, especially if you are the product of your company. Most creative entrepreneurs are the face of their brand. So let's distill this image into a more relatable visual. Imagine, if you will, one big circle with the words raving fans inside, surrounded by four smaller circles labeled you, why you do it, what you offer, and resonant audience. In essence, you need to be clear about who you are, what you really offer to your fans, and why you do what you do. Then you need to communicate that through every experience you offer to your resonant audience, the people that love you, whom you love right back. Brand identity. This is all the stuff about you, who you are, what matters to you and your company, and a little bit about why you exist. It's the internal conversations about motivations, missions, and goals. It's the stuff that makes your company what it is. We've dedicated the entire first section of this book to learning more about you and what really matters to you, which means we've also hit on a good deal of why you do what you do as well. The last few chapters have started you down the path of what you offer, and all that work is going to help you find and connect with more of your resonant audience. Brand loyalty. With all due respect to Simon Sinek, your customer doesn't care about why you do what you do. They only care how you can make their life better. Don't take it personally. They simply don't have the time or patience to care. You have to make it easy for them to be loyal to you by making your why tangible for the customer. Borrowing BJ Bueno's definition from earlier, brand loyalty is when your clients are loyal to your products, services, or offerings. This is where they demonstrate their willingness to choose you first and maybe even refer their friends and colleagues. But this is only the tip of the customer satisfaction iceberg. This is where you translate who you are and what you stand for into your offerings for your clients and customers to begin to connect with you. This is where Simon Sinek's Why You Do It becomes tangible for your customer. In her book, The Customer Manifesto, Pamela Herman says that loyalty happens when we feel a sense of support or allegiance to someone or something. But what exactly can you do to help your clients feel support or allegiance? It might not be as hard as you think. L-O-V-E is the answer. When you show love to your audience feels more at ease and trusts you. When they believe you have more vested in the relationship than they do, they're more likely to say yes to your offers, especially if they like you. The know, like, and trust factor, KLT, is not something to take lightly. And the best way I've found to stimulate KLT is with a little L-O-V-E. Listen, observe, value, educate. You've got to listen to your resonant audience and observe what's really going on. People often say one thing and do something else. Ask questions when it's appropriate and really listen to what your audience is saying. Some marketing types would tell you to, quote unquote, find their pain point. But that may not apply to you. You may not be solving a problem, but you can certainly empathize and help make their life better through your great work. Music, for example, doesn't solve a problem so much as hit an empathetic nerve. People resonate with your music because they feel connected to it or the story. You've also got to value your audience in ways that are meaningful to them and to you. It can't be a one-way street in either direction. If you're only doing what works for you, business will dry up. If you're constantly doing things that your audience loves but it doesn't work for you, then resentment builds. Lastly, you've got to educate your audience on who you are, how your offers work, what you're about, as well as the expectations you have for them and yourself. You need to keep them in the loop, and the sooner, the better. The framework is pretty simple. It's how you choose to apply it that makes all the difference. The more you show the appropriate amount of L-O-V-E to your audience, the easier it is for them to offer up a resounding hell yeah and be the first in line whenever you offer your great work to the world. Customer loyalty. This is the element where you show your commitment to your customers. That could be through a rewards program, or personalized messages, or a direct line of contact for your very best customers. How this materializes in your business is up to you. When you think of your own life and the people to whom you are most loyal, what comes to mind? We are not simply loyal from the onset of a relationship. There are several elements that combine to afford you that sense of loyalty. As children, we develop a sense of trust with our parents and loved ones because we can count on them to provide for us. But that trust isn't innate. It's learned through the consistency of connection and support we've gotten from those people. The connection, support, and consistency are what Sarah Robinson calls the advanced evolution of wildly successful communities. But there's a lot that has to happen first. Sarah lays out several building blocks to fierce loyalty in her book, Fierce Loyalty: Unlocking the DNA of Wildly Successful Communities. They are a captivating common interest, people who share this common interest, a set of compelling needs served through a specific structure. Captivating common interest. Ideally, that captivating common interest revolves around you, your great work, and/or how you show up in the world. Don't ignore the word captivating because it's a pivotal word. If you or your great work are just meh, you can forget it. Mediocrity is a one-way ticket to nowhere. That doesn't mean you have to be an over-the-top showman. Introverts can be incredibly captivating with their steady, loving presence or quiet persistence. Be who you are and do it with conviction. Essentially, you're becoming a lighthouse for your raving fans to find you. Shine your light. Don't pretend to be something you're not. People who share this interest. Since we've established you and your great work are the captivating common interest, now we've got to find the people who like you and or your great work. Not all of the people who share a love of you, the common interest, will be a part of your community of raving fans, but this is the bigger pool of people from which raving fans will emerge. So who's in this bigger pool? These are not just your clients, customers, and fans, but also your evangelists, colleagues and peers who talk you up, send you referrals, and make mention of you in their own work. They are also your friends, your family, and even acquaintances that have shown appreciation for you or your great work. Yes, this is a very large pool, and it's unreasonable to think you can market or even reach all of them. But these people are a part of your community of common interest nonetheless. One of the exercises I like to use with my clients to help them narrow the pool a bit is my number one fan activity. Your number one fan. Think about the best compliment or testimonial you could get for your great work. What would your number one fan have to say? What makes them love you so much? Stephen Covey tells us to begin with the end in mind. Write out the words your number one fan would use, in their voice, not yours, as if you were stepping inside their head for a minute and hearing exactly what they were thinking. Let go of your judgments and feel into what you'd love to have them say about you. Go ahead and dream big. This is your number one fan, after all. Completing the number one fan exercise is a huge step in getting clarity about your raving fans. It helps you get in the head of your customers and understand their words, as well as how they will feel once they've had a chance to work with you or experience your great work. You may still have more work to do to refine this, but at least you're narrowing the pool and getting closer. Compelling set of needs. Remember, not everyone who shares your common interest are going to be your raving fans. Those who are will have a compelling set of needs that, when you meet them, will stimulate loyalty to your business. Belonging/unity. Not everyone wants to join a movement or start a revolution. But if there's resonance for who you are and what you stand for, raving fans want to align themselves with that as a means of feeling like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. Individuality. Raving fans don't just want to be another face in the crowd. Sure, they're part of something bigger than themselves, but they also want to be seen, heard, and acknowledged for the individual person that they are. Safety. It takes courage to show up fully as yourself and express your individuality. Even more so in a group setting, including a virtual one. Raving fans want to know they can trust you. They want to feel a sense of security and certainty among like-minded people, whether that's you or other members of your growing fan base. My annual event, Creative Freedom Live, is a place where these three elements are emphasized and intensified. We spend 3 days together working individually on a common goal, developing our growth plans for the next 12 months. In order to foster community and a sense of openness, we have to commit to certain levels of confidentiality, which creates and reinforces a safe space for everyone to work, be seen and heard, and know they can trust one another. A specific organizational structure. When your raving fans start showing up, you've got to have a means of providing for those needs. Robinson suggests three necessary structures to help meet those needs. Connection. The ability to connect with you, your company, and even other members of the community feeds the ability to stimulate trust and belonging. Support. Knowing there's support available should an individual need it enhances trust. It also often gives someone courage enough to show up as themselves and be recognized as an individual. Consistency. When raving fans can rely on you to be consistent in the delivery of a quality offering, in the way you show up and share your great work, as well as how you respond to their needs, they can relax and enjoy a deepening relationship with you. When you're clear on who you are and why you do what you do, that community of captivating common interest begins to form. It's through the delivery of the brand experience that your resonant audience begins to shake out your raving fans. Consistency in delivering that experience is the linchpin that creates raving fans. Brand experience. As a kid, my mom would take us on mini vacations all over the state. Being in Michigan, you're never more than 80 miles from one of the Great Lakes, which meant a lot of summer days were spent at one beach or another. Invariably, we'd have to take a body break somewhere along the drive. Most of the times, there were roadside rest areas, but when there were no rest areas to be found, Mom's backup plan was always McDonald's. We rarely ever got to eat at McDonald's, which always made it feel more like she was teasing us. I remember asking on one of our stops why she stopped at McDonald's but wouldn't let us order anything. Her response was simple. They always have clean bathrooms. Well, they did, that is, until the day they didn't. We were driving cross-country to the East Coast, somewhere in New York State. Mom took a pit stop at the local McDonald's, and the bathrooms were atrocious. She wouldn't stop at another McDonald's until we got back to Michigan. In her mind, the damage was done, and apparently she could only trust the McDonald's in our home state to have clean restrooms. When you do something once, people might take notice, and they might just consider it a fluke. When you do something a few times, you start to develop a reputation. When you're known for doing something consistently, that's when trust increases rapidly. McDonald's never makes a claim in any of their marketing that they have clean restrooms. Sure, you might make the assumption that every establishment should have clean facilities, but we've all experienced a less than stellar bathroom experience. For Mom, McDonald's bathrooms were so consistently clean that she expected every McDonald's to have clean restrooms. That is the power of consistency. When you're crafting your brand experience, it's important to think about what you will and won't do on a consistent basis for your raving fans. You might not think it's a big deal, but to your raving fans, it could mean the world. In my own business, we've built a brand Bible, which codifies all the consistent elements of our work, the colors, words, and images that we will use consistently to represent creative freedom in the marketplace. All my social media channels use the same headshot. We have standard copy for bios of various lengths. We also have a list of images, words, and behaviors that we will never use, say, or do because they are not in alignment with what we believe creative freedom is about in the world. As I mentioned earlier, I also have parameters around how I dress. I like to be comfortable, so my brand reflects that. While there's not enough time and space to develop your brand in this module, there are some things to keep in mind as you develop your customer experience. How do you and your business show up in the world? What would you never be caught dead doing? If your brand was a character on a TV show, who would it be? That last question might sound odd, but trust me, it brings clarity. MacGyver versus Sidney Bristow. I loved the original MacGyver series. To me, he was trustworthy, reliable, and he had an unmistakable brand. He never used a gun, except once, in the very first episode of the show. He ate healthy food, and he had a mullet that every girl seemed to love. He wore jeans, drove a Jeep, and was never without a roll of duct tape. He used his brain to solve the problems of the world. On the rare occasions he put on a tux, he looked like a fish out of water, and he even confessed to feeling that way. He preferred his jeans and tennies, his Jeep, and his handy roll of duct tape. You might say he was trustworthy and reliable because he had an unmistakable brand. You always knew what to expect with MacGyver. I had the opposite reaction when I watched Alias. Sidney Bristow was hard to trust, even though I knew she was the hero of the show. She was a double agent, always in and out of disguises. She was likable, but it was hard to know who she really was or which side she was serving. It took several seasons before I felt like I really knew what to expect from her. Whether you want to admit it or not, you are a character. As a creative entrepreneur, you have to craft a persona, and I strongly encourage you to make it as true to life as possible. Lady Gaga insists on being outlandish in her own way. Even when she's dressed conservatively, she'll have a thick layer of glitter eyeshadow and long, color-coordinated fingernails. They are the calling cards of her brand experience. That doesn't mean your brand can't evolve. As Steve Jobs mellowed over the years, he stopped wearing business suits and became known for his iconic black mock turtleneck and jeans. You need to decide now what you want to be known for before someone else decides for you. Like my friend Tai Chi, there are countless tales of performing artists who are made into a persona by their agents and producers. It's all fun until you reach your breaking point. Don't let that happen to you, even if you don't have an agent or a producer. I tell my clients all the time, you train people how to treat you based on what they've come to expect from you and what you've come to accept from them. Knowing what you want to be known for isn't just about your great work. Sure, it's important to deliver a quality product or service, but who is delivering it and how it's being delivered is just as important to the story of your business. The good news is that it's your business. You get to decide. And decide you must before someone else does. Still feeling unclear or stuck on this? Stay the course. The next chapter will help clarify in terms you can apply directly to your own situation. Your assignment. What are your raving fans feeling, and how does your great work help them feel even better? Complete the number one fan activity and look for the elements of fierce loyalty that you need to implement in order to earn that rave review in the future. What's one step you'll take to start implementing a better customer experience for your raving fans? This is an ongoing activity, so don't think you can do it once and just walk away. Raving fans required your focused, consistent efforts. Begin building your own brand Bible, the list of what to do and what not to do that will help establish your brand character and help you stay consistent in presenting your brand to the world. Start small, and as your company grows, add what's necessary to help your team stay consistent too. Get the Raving Fans Toolkit from my website to use as a guide for your own development. Celebrate. Confetti, streamers, group hugs, whatever floats your boat.